2 weeks ago, we studied a parable known as the parable of the tares of the field. It was the disciples of Jesus Christ who came to him, and they were the ones who named the parable after those words. In that particular lesson, we took a very broad approach to the study of the parable. We noted that each parable has a central idea, and the central idea for this particular parable is this. At the end of the world, there is going to be a clear distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous. Our God is going to make a division between the two, and that division is going to be as clear as it possibly can be. We also noted some other things. We noted that in every parable, there are what are referred to as incidentals. These particular things are true to the earthly story, but they may not have a spiritual application. Sometimes individuals go into a parable and they study it, and they want to make everything in the parable something spiritual in nature, and sometimes they press the parable too far, so we have to be very careful not to do that. We noted also that sometimes parables have divine interpretations already placed upon them in Scripture. In other words, Jesus not only gives the parable, but He also gives the interpretation of the parable, and such is true of the parable of the tares of the field. Jesus interpreted that parable for us, and when He does, we have no right to put any other interpretation on that parable other than the one that is divinely given for us. We noted too that sometimes in parables there are difficulties that have to be studied. And in this parable, one of the difficulties involves the use of the word kingdom. 4 times Jesus mentions the word kingdom in the text. 2 times it refers to the church. 1 time it refers to the kingdom of the world, and 1 time it refers to the eternal kingdom, the kingdom that will come at the end of the world. Today we want to continue to study the parable of the tares of the field. And what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be looking at the lessons that Jesus teaches us from this particular parable. And there's 4 broad categories that we want to be looking at. Point number 1, children of the kingdom are made by good seed. Notice what Jesus says. Another parable put He forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed into his field. Notice that this man so good seed into a field. Those individuals to whom Jesus was speaking understood everything He was talking about. They grew up in an agricultural community. Every one of them understood a little bit about farming, a little bit about gardening, a little bit about planting and reaping. And therefore, Jesus took something that was very common in His day and told a story about it, and alongside of it, He laid a spiritual lesson. I find it interesting that up until about 60 or 70 years ago, most individuals in the United States of America were quite agricultural in nature, weren't they? Many individuals in this audience grew up on farms, and if they didn't have a farm, they definitely had a huge, huge garden that their parents planted, or maybe even they planted as they grew up. So individuals, even in our society, still are very familiar with the concepts of seeds and sowing and planting and harvesting, aren't we? So here is a true story, a real story, something that could have literally happened, and Jesus just tells about it to His listeners. He says this, a man which sowed good seed into his field. Folks, we know exactly the interpretation of every part of this particular parable. As revealed to us here in Matthew 13, 37 and 38, He answered and said unto them, the man that sowed the seed is who? The Son of Man. And the field is the world. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. Now notice our point is, children of the kingdom are made by what? Good seed. The Lord doesn't make much of a distinction between the seed and what the seed produces. In fact, He connects them closely together, doesn't He? In the Great Commission, Jesus said this, "Go ye into all the world," folks, there's the field, is it not? "And preach the gospel," there's the seed, "to every creature." How do I know the gospel is the seed? Because of what Jesus taught in Luke 8:11. Now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. Good seed produce a useful crop, don't they? Jesus describes that crop as wheat. And the spiritual application of it is this, the good seed are the children of the kingdom. Folks, the seed and the harvest produced by the seed are what? Inseparably linked one with another. You and I, as God's children, are inseparably linked to this book. This is the seed, and we are the seed, are we not? Why? Because we are the products of this book. Notice, seed produces what? The children. No seed, no children. The children of God are made by the Word of God. Thus, we can be referred to as the seed of the kingdom. Notice point number two. Satan has children in this world. The story that Jesus tells continued. "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares in his field and went his way." Now notice what happens. "But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared" what? "Then appeared the tares." Notice that an enemy did this. Who is an enemy? Folks, an enemy is nothing more than a person who is in opposition to another individual. And we know this too, that an enemy always seeks to do harm to his opposition, doesn't he? The very reason that these tares are sown into this field is in order to destroy the field and make it less productive than it could have been. If the field were completely wheat, what a harvest that man would have had, wouldn't he? We know in this particular parable that Jesus is not talking just about a man. He's talking about Satan, is he not? For when he went in to interpret the parable, he tells us very plainly, the enemy is the devil. It is the devil who is sowing tares in the field that is the world, isn't it? Let's notice a few facts about these tares. Tares come from seeds. Isn't that interesting? Tares come from seeds. Folks, there's all kinds of seeds in the world, aren't there? But there is only one good seed. There is only one kind of seed that is going to produce wheat. There's only one kind of seed that's going to produce the children of the kingdom. And that is the Word of God. But there are many, many seeds out there in the world. And the devil came along and he sowed tares in that wheat field. Here's something that's interesting. Tares are in the same field as the wheat. What did Jesus say? The field is the world. In the world there are children of God, and in the world there are children of the devil, aren't there? And here's what's even scarier. The tares are allowed to grow with the wheat. Now what's interesting about a tare is this. A tare resembles the wheat. especially when the wheat is young. In other words, you look at a tare and you look at a wheat, and guess what? You cannot hardly tell them apart. Have you ever heard statements like these? There are very few differences between us. You ever heard that statement made? I've heard that many times. Or maybe it's put like this. We are more alike than we are different. You hear that all the time. In other words, people want to focus on the ways in which we look alike, and they do not want to even think about the ways in which we are different. And if you point those differences out, what will they say? They're just some minor differences. We're more alike than we are different. Many people in the religious world today do not have the ability to distinguish between things. They don't have the ability to distinguish between the tares and the wheat, folks. There are individuals who think that world religions are on the same plateau as Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Confucius, Baha, Judaism. All of those religions are looked upon as being equals of Christianity. Why? Because in their minds they look alike, don't they? They're all believers. They all believe in a God. They all worship. They all have some kind of a law book that they try to live by. They try to be good people. They all believe in a hereafter of some sort. You see, they look so much alike that individuals don't want to distinguish between the two. What about denominations and the Lord's church? How many individuals have come into the Lord's church and you're trying to teach them about the unique nature of the church, and by the time you get through, they look at you and they say, well, you know, there's really not that much difference between us. We have an instrument. Y'all don't have an instrument. Y'all take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Well, we take it on the first day of the week, but we just take it once a month. You see, the differences in their mind just aren't very big. How about this next one? Good people from Christians. Do you know some good people in the world that aren't Christians? I do. They're moral. They're upright. They're hardworking. They're good citizens. They pay their taxes. They got beautiful children. They raise those children to be respectful. They raise those children to know what it means to work. They would never be arrested. They don't smoke. They don't drink. They don't party. They don't do drugs. They don't do any of that stuff. They are what? They are good people. And sometimes people can't distinguish between a good person and what a Christian is. They put them on the same plateau, don't they? And how about this one? Genuine Christians from hypocrites. Is that sometimes hard to distinguish? What is a hypocrite? Well, the literal definition of a hypocrite is a stage player, an actor. Folks, an actor is a person who is not himself on the stage, is he? And oftentimes, you and I have a stage that we love to play upon, don't we? The stage may be the church. We come to the worship services and boy, we play the faithful Christian. And yet, behind the scenes, we are not who we were at the church building. We want everybody to think that we're faithful and that we're godly and that we're righteous. And yet, behind the scenes, we're a totally different individual. It's hard to distinguish sometimes between what? Between a Christian, a genuine Christian, and a hypocrite. You see, in the world, there are what? There are wheat and there are tares. And folks, it is difficult sometimes to distinguish between the two. Now the servants came to the owner of the field and they wanted to go out, didn't they? And they wanted to tear out the tares, didn't they? And the Lord said, no, you leave those there. Because if you go out now and you try to make that distinguishing mark between the two, you will destroy some of the wheat. Notice what he says, let both grow together until the harvest. Folks, there's a lesson here for us right now. Remember, the field is what? The field is the world. In that field are either wheat or what? Tares. Here's the application. Which are you right now? Which are you? You're either the wheat or you're a tare in the field of the world. I need to stop and I need to ask myself, which one of those two am I? Notice point number three. The harvest is coming. Let both grow together until what? Until the harvest, Jesus says. Jesus tells us exactly what the harvest is in Matthew 13:9, folks. And the harvest is what? The end of the world. Jesus promises that the end of the world is coming. I want you to stop and just think about that. One of these days, this world in which we live, this world in which we find so much pleasure, this world that we think is our home oftentimes, is going to come to a what? To an end. The Bible says that Jesus is truth, John 14:6. The Bible teaches us that Jesus cannot lie when He speaks. My witness is true, He says in John 8:14. And Jesus is God, and the Bible says God cannot lie. Titus 1:2. The end of the world is coming, Jesus says. Folks, listen to me. Every one of us can be assured of it. It's coming. I don't know when, and I will not try to tell you when. All I know is this, the end is coming. And you want to know what many individuals do with regard to that message? Far too many either deny the end of the world or they intentionally neglect that it's coming. Well, it's not today, so I won't worry about it. And oftentimes in our mind, we don't think it's tomorrow, and we don't think it's next week, and we don't think it's next year, do we? You see, we just intentionally neglect that the end of the world is coming. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And the harvest is the end of the world. Folks, at the harvest, there's going to be a great separation. Did you know that? In the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, go! Gather ye together first what? The tares. And bind them in bundles to be burned. And then what? Gather the wheat into my barn. A clear separation between what? Wheat and tares. The Bible says that the angels are the reapers, according to Matthew 13:9. Folks, at the end of the world, God is going to unleash His angelic host upon the world. And those divine messengers, those divine workers of the Almighty God, those ministers on His behalf, they will not err when they make a distinction between the wheat and the tares. They know the difference, don't they? The great separation. Wheat from tares, children of kingdom from the children of the devil, and the righteous separated from those who what? The Bible says, from those who offend and do iniquity. You see, Jesus tells us exactly who these people are that are the tares. They are the ones that offend. They are the ones who do iniquity. That little word offend means this: to trap, to ensnare, to cause to sin. A person who is one who offends is a person who draws other into error, is one who presents a stumbling block before others. There are a boatload of those in the world, aren't there? Friends, loved ones, even our enemies are doing everything they can do sometimes to keep us from being faithful to the Almighty God. And then there are those who are what? They do iniquity. That little word means illegality. Violation of law. Lawless. Individuals who have a contempt for law. They are wicked, folks. The individuals who are the tares do not even believe that they are under the law of God. I don't care what God says. And because of their contempt for God's law, they violate the law. And they seek to do all that they can to lead others astray against the law of God. And one of these days, they will be separated from the wicked of this earth. Point number four. Harvest ends in final destiny, doesn't it? The tares will be separated from the wheat, and what happens to them? The Bible says they'll be burned in a fiery furnace. Gather ye together, first the tares, and bind them in bundles to be burned, and cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can you think of anything more horrible than being burned to death? I'm a wimp when it comes to being burned. Even the least little burn just drives me crazy. Just about cry. I can't imagine being tormented from top to bottom, burning in anguish, in eternal fire forever and ever and ever. And folks, there's not only that. There's also the anguish and the sorrow that individuals are going to hear in that place throughout all eternity. There should be what? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. No laughter, no joy, only anguish. That's the eternal lot for the tares. But what is the end for the wheat? Folks, it's a home and an eternal abode, is it not? But what? But gather the wheat into my barn. I love that picture, don't you? Those tares are being thrown in the fire. The wheat has been gathered. They just passed the fire and into the Lord's barn. And there they'll be forever and ever, won't they? Jesus goes on to describe them in this manner: then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. I want you to think about the righteous for a minute. Right now, the righteous are those who have been purified by the precious blood of Christ, haven't they? Folks, they are not stained, they are not soiled, they are not polluted, they aren't contaminated. They've been wiped clean by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And every day, the righteous do all they can do to shine, don't they? Is that hard sometime in our world? You go to your place of work and guess what? You are the only Christian. Everybody else is worldly. Everybody else is ungodly. They don't care about spiritual things. They don't even want to talk about spiritual things. You try to bring it up and they just shake their head. There's that holier now person. Just keep that stuff to yourself. We don't want to hear that mess. Folks, it's hard to shine in a dark world, isn't it? But we do our best to shine as brightly as we possibly can shine. We're not a big congregation here on the beach, are we? But we're doing everything we can do to try to get the Word of God out in our community and into the world. It's not a bright, bright, bright light, but folks, the world is dark. But guess what? One of these days, we the righteous are going to be separated from all the pollutants of this world. All the contaminants are going to be gone. All the tares are going to be cast into the fire. And guess what? The righteous will shine, Jesus says, like the sun. Can you imagine that day? When you and I are able to share in and manifest the glory of the Almighty God. What a day, folks. What a day. Jesus addressed this parable to every one of us who is in this audience today. If you don't believe that, look at verse 43. He that hath ears, let him hear. That wasn't addressed just to people living 2,000 years ago. I got ears. And guess what? Jesus says, Vic, if you've got ears, you better hear. Folks, I'm being serious. Are you wheat? That is, are you a child of the kingdom? Or are you a tare? A child of the evil one. You know, we might word it this way. Eternally, will you be cast into a furnace of fire? Or eternally, will you be gathered into the Lord's barn and live in that abode forever and ever? Those are the two ends at the end of the world. And you can rest assured it's coming. Remember, to be a child of the kingdom is simple, is it not? It has to do with what's found in the Word of God. And the Bible tells us very simply what we need to do to become Christians. Hear the precious gospel, Romans 10:17. Believe in our hearts that Jesus is the Son of the living God, Romans 10:9-10. Repent of our sins, Acts 2:38. Confess the beautiful name of Jesus, Romans 10:9-10. And be baptized in order to have our sins washed away, Acts 22:16. Do you need to do that today? My friend, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you may look good. You may resemble a wheat. But the reality is you're a tare. Dear Christian, what about you? Are you really wheat? Or is your Christianity just hypocrisy, a facade? Something that you put on to others, but really, even though you resemble a faithful Christian, you know better than that. A tear. Maybe you need to repent this morning and ask God to forgive you. Do you need to respond to the invitation? As together we stand and sing.